It's the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend and the loudmouth.
There's something about this music that just never gets old. I don't care what time of year it is.
It's November.
And it feels like April?
No.
Not really?
No.
Still November?
Yeah.
Well, in any case, hello friends. It's time. Anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. November the 12th, but yet Masters opening day.
What?
Strange.
Yeah.
But songs like this make it all worthwhile. Because if it's Thursday and it's Masters week, we're playing this song on our show. And so many great memories of Masters gone by with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player leading off the morning, and a really good day of golf to boot. Fun day to watch. Tiger goes out, shoots 68. He's going to be in contention, looks like. He's got his game going. It's going to be fun. Grant, how are we doing?
Good.
Very serene and calm.
Yes.
Leading into this. I'm just going to keep that music going in the background, I think, because that's just happy.
Happy.
After all the things we've had happen this year, Augusta National is, as it always is, timeless, classic.
A tradition unlike any other.
In a year unlike any other.
The Masters.
The Masters on CBS. But, you know, when I grew up watching the Masters, it would have to be usually, you know, accompanied by somebody. And usually it was this guy.
I'm Pat Summerall. I'll be at 18, a very challenging par 4, all uphill with a huge grove of pines and magnolias to the right, off the tee that is, and bunkers on the left. A two-tiered green, today the pin is on the upper level, a very challenging position.
Yes, it is.
How good of a golfer do you think Pat Summerall was?
What's that?
How good of a golfer do you think Pat Summerall
was? I hear he was really good.
He was? I never heard of him playing golf.
I heard Pat Summerall was an excellent golfer.
You're talking scratch golfer, or was he just like...
No, I don't know if he was a scratch golfer, but I had heard some stories that... Well, again, like most kickers... He was a pretty good, you know...
Your kickers are good golfers for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Ken Venturi used to say that he was a really good golfer when he won, especially when it was for money. And
he's like Jordan, he plays best when money's on the line?
No, might be. But Venturi, who was, for those of you who don't know, Ken Venturi was a longtime broadcast partner.
Was he a producer?
Who, Ken Venturi?
Yeah.
No. No, Ken Venturi was a golfer before he became a broadcaster. Oh. In fact, he almost won the Masters time before. So, but and then another guy that used to play with Summerall a lot was Vin Scully. And
that doesn't surprise
Vin Scully has said in the past that he was a really good golfer too. So, I don't know, but I will always remember growing up with Jim Nance for the later years, but I'll always remember growing up with Pat Summerall. And of course, back then we had quite the cast of characters that would do the CBS golf broadcast. You had Gary McCord, who once referred to the greens at Augusta as being so fast they were bikini waxed. And needless to say, Gary didn't work.
That was abruptly fired.
Gary didn't work another Masters. We had Ben Wright reporting the play from the 17th hole, not broadcasting, not commenting, but reporting the play.
Reporting
the play was always Ben Wright. And it was always Summerall and Venturi at 18. Vern Lundquist still at 16 this year. He came back.
Is he always a 16th hole guy?
Always a 16th hole guy, yeah. He's a 16th hole guy.
And he probably knows every little thing about the 16th.
Well, and again, what's so great about Augusta is that it's the only major where they come back and play the same course every year. So this morning when you're watching Tiger teed off this morning on the 10th hole. So he starts on the back nine.
Why is he on the back
nine? Well, they got two tee starts because they want to try to get as many people in because they don't have as much daylight this year. And Tiger, so Tiger starts out playing the back nine at Augusta, which are the nine holes in golf that even casual golf fans know what all of them look like. And this year it was so different to see that on screen because there are no fans, of course.
Yeah.
And it's November, so everything looks just a little bit different. And then, but he's playing the first nine of the same as the last nine he played the last time. And you, everybody listening knows the holes if you watch any golf. You know, you've got the par 3 12th where you have to go over, which is one of them. That's the one I have in my office on the wall, this picture you sent me today. The two par 5s at 13 and 15. 16 with the great theater and the green that slopes down towards Dray's Creek and the water. Four guys have made holes in one, and then the iconic 18th with the flag on the right. That's supposed to be in the state of Georgia, right there in the middle of it. And everything about this tournament I love, and I'm glad they're playing it this year.
And you wish you could play it.
I do. It is a bucket list item of mine to.
How do you play? How do you play? Rather than get a membership.
Well, you got to know somebody.
Yeah. Do you know anybody?
I don't know. Well, no. I'm afraid I don't have a Rolodex that's that deep that I can just get on Augusta anytime I want to.
Yeah.
That requires some special intervention to get on there. Or I could be a member of the media and cover it. Because after the rounds on Sunday and Monday, some of the media gets to play the course, which would be pretty cool. So why don't you...
So when I get my journalist career going up in broadcasting, I'll bring you to Augusta with me.
Yeah, well, what I figured...
You know, if for Christmas I surprised you and we got to go to Augusta, you'd be sobbing.
Probably. Probably would be.
Hey, Dad, we'll go to Augusta.
Well, I would love to do that someday and just to experience it, and maybe someday we'll get a chance to do that. But for now, it is through the magic of television that we will...
Instead, we go to the MCC.
Instead, we'll go to Morehead. Right. But so your leader after round one today, Paul Casey, who shot 7 under 65. An interesting day in that everybody thought that there were going to be certain names at the top of the leaderboard, and it doesn't seem to have worked out that way. Now, the first round is not over. Justin Thomas is 5 under through 10. Tiger had a really nice day. He shot 4 under 68. And as I've always said at Augusta, your target each day is to shoot 68. And the reason it is because you have four par 5s. And if you birdie each of the par 5s and par the rest of the course, you shoot 68. And 68 each day would be 16 under, which should generally be enough to win most years.
Yeah.
However, I don't know if this year you necessarily need to shoot 16 under, but shooting 68 each day would be a good benchmark.
Okay.
And I think as we look at the tournament, you're going to find that with the rainy conditions that we had today, the course is a lot more receptive to the greens or slower. The putts don't break as much. It's a little easier to put up big numbers from a scoring standpoint. So, but to illustrate to you how different the game of golf is, all right, Grant?
Okay.
I'm going to give you two players. We're going to call one player A and one player B.
Okay.
You'll probably be able to figure out who one of them is, but it'll probably surprise you when I tell you who the other one is.
Okay.
Both these gentlemen today shot the same score, 2 under par, 70.
Okay.
One of them had an average driving distance today of 247 yards. The other average drive was 334 yards. Okay. Also, greens in regulation, player A, 93% greens in regulation. Means he hit 93% of the greens when he was supposed to. The other player, only 57% greens in regulation.
Okay.
All right. One of the players, player A, is 62 years old. And the other player is 27 years old.
Okay.
And they've both won one major each.
Okay.
Would you care to try to identify either player A or B?
I'm guessing Bryson DeChambeau is one of them.
Bryson DeChambeau is player B.
Is Matt Kuchar the other one?
No. Larry Mize is the other one.
Okay.
Larry Mize, who was best known for in 1987 beating Greg Norman with a 150-foot chip off the green to win it, and who was also a native of Augusta.
Greg Norman.
Sad, right?
I feel bad for that guy.
But isn't that interesting, though? The stats I just gave you, those were the extreme ends of either range. They're 35 years apart in age, and yet today they went out and shot the same score. You can, as Jerry Bird said, you can win a game many different ways.
Why, your beeping shirt come off?
Yeah, that's right. So, fascinating stuff there. DeChambeau, you know, everybody said DeChambeau was going to break Augusta. Well,
it broke him.
Well, the first hole he had today, he knocked one within 5 feet on 10, blew the birdie putt.
Of course he did.
And he was off to a... And then he was to 13, the first par 5 on the back 9, and goes and makes a complete mess of it and makes a 7. So he doubles it.
Of course he does.
Spends most of the day battling back from that and gets himself at least to 2 under. But he's well back of the pack now already. Now, he can go out and probably shoot 65, but he's already in a tie for 21st. Actually, the guy you mentioned, Kuchar, right with him there at 2 under. And 50 guys under par to start today already through, and again, not everybody's finished. Your boy Brooks Koepka had a tough start.
iRobot.
2 over par, didn't look very good. We've got a lot of amateurs down on the leaderboard now.
Colin Morikawa.
Well, Morikawa is, his round really didn't get started much.
He's
yet.
Not, well, yeah.
Okay. You're kind of a Morikawa guy, aren't you?
I like Colin Morikawa.
Morikawa is even through 10, so he's gotten halfway through the round. So it'll be fun to watch. I mean, they're going to have to go out and finish the round at like 6:30 tomorrow morning, so it's going to be brutal to those people that didn't finish. And then a lot of them have to turn right around and come back out and play
it again.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, they're going to have to play at minimum, a lot of these guys are going to have to play probably 27 holes tomorrow. There are some guys that barely got through, didn't even make it through the front 9 today. So they're going to have to come back and look at a guy like Rory McIlroy is going to have to play 27 holes tomorrow. Fred Couples, who is old, he's going to have to play 27 holes tomorrow. Koepka's going to have to play 26 on a knee that's not probably totally 100%. So Tiger's also lucky that he was able to play, get out, post a number, and now he's got until tomorrow afternoon to kind of sit around and wait. Mm-hmm. So based on what you saw today and what you know, I don't know if you're picking anybody in particular or rooting for anybody. But
I mean,
Tiger's right there.
Is there anybody else you really want to win this thing?
There are a few guys that I'd like to see win. And one of them is Lee Westwood, who's 47 years old and, you know, shot 4 under today. He has the longest streak of major championship appearances without a victory. And it's like an 80-something. So I'd like to see Louis Oosthuizen, the South African guy. He's come so close at Augusta. It'd be nice to see him win. He's a good dude. I would like to see Tony Finau win. I kind of like Tony Finau.
Yeah, I like Tony.
The other guy I would kind of like to see do well here, and unfortunately he's already kind of off to a rough start, is Rory McIlroy.
No.
And I guess
no.
I would, and I know he's not, you know, he's not like, well, again, rough start, he's even, I think, right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's 2 under. Let's look here. I don't think, yeah, he's even through 9. It's the only one he hasn't won.
No.
And so I wouldn't mind seeing him get a win here. You don't want to see him
win? I don't like him.
Why? What did he ever do to you?
I don't like him.
Yeah, well, what did he ever do to you?
Something about him, I just don't like him.
Okay. All right, that's fine. That's fine. So those are some guys. Jordan Spieth, man, what happened to him? He's awful.
Was he leading the Masters and Patrick Reed took it away from him?
You mean Captain America, Patrick Reed?
Oh, my God, that's what he calls himself?
Yeah, that's what they call him.
That's bad.
Spieth's had a rough go of it, man. He's 2 over. He doesn't look like... I mean, he was like the next guy.
Oh, he was the guy.
And then it went to Koepka.
And then it went to Justin Thomas.
And now it's kind of Justin Thomas or Morikawa. And so
it's Justin
Thomas. They're all kind of rotating it around. But
Rotating?
Yeah. Rotating is what he meant to say.
Rotating.
But anyway, I guess we'll see what happens. But I'm looking forward to seeing the next few rounds and what happens. And then, of course, there's nothing better than Master Sunday, which is going to be really weird because it's going to be on a football Sunday, which obviously doesn't happen very often. So, I know you're kind of a take it or leave it guy on that front. I get it.
I'll watch the final round.
Okay. Well,
sometimes
that's good. Well, I know there's one thing you'll be watching this weekend though, and let's move on so we can talk about the National Football League. Tonight, we've got the Titans, who are even against the Colts. Right now, that game living up to its billing, 17-10. Titans have a slight advantage here as we roll towards the end of the second quarter in that one. Actually, under a minute to go. Colts driving here, but we both are on the Titans in the over tonight at 48.5. We're just about right on pace for that, so it should be interesting to see what happens in the second half here as the Colts are trying to make this tie this game up right before the half. All right, again, the legend is two games up as we head to the Sunday slate. Let's get to it, Grant. Texans at 2-6 roll into Cleveland at 5-3. Yeah, the Browns are a 3-point favorite with an over/under of 49. This is actually quite an even matchup, but I think we all know who's probably going to wind up winning this one.
Yeah,
or do we?
The Texans' two wins are against Jacksonville, correct? Houston's two wins are against Jacksonville. I
can neither confirm nor deny.
I think that's right, and I think Cleveland's just a little bit better.
You're taking Cleveland in the three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same.
I'm like, you're taking Houston?
No.
I would never take Houston.
No, I'm not suicidal.
Unless they're playing the Jags.
No, I think the Browns are good enough to win this game. I think it's going to be closer than most people think.
But this would be a Browns game to lose, too. So.
It would be a very Browns-like game to lose. There's no question about it. It would be a Browns-like game to lose. But I am all in here on the Browns. I think even though they let me down a few weeks ago, I'm still going to take them here as Philip Rivers unloads a bomb. No.
He dropped a bomb.
Yeah, he was going for T.Y. in the corner of the end zone there. But no, we're both on the Browns. I just don't think Cleveland... This is a game, again, if you want to be a serious playoff contender, you have to win. And
they need Nick Chubb, it's pretty clear.
Right now, they're again outside looking in, so this is the kind of game they have to win to get into the playoff picture. Two teams that will not be worrying about the playoff picture this year, unfortunately. The Washington football team, the Woofters, at 2-6, traveling to Detroit.
That's an awful football game.
The 3-5 Lions, who shit the bed against the Vikings here last week. Lions are a 4.5-point favorite. You know, Washington's defense actually isn't that bad. They're 8th in the league.
Yeah.
But their offense is nearly dead last. And
that's not a good combination.
No, and the Lions are not real good on either side of the football. But I think they're good enough on the offensive side of the football where they should be able to score enough points. I'm just not convinced. Again, I love the Alex Smith story. I love the fact that he's going to be a starting quarterback again. And it's a great story.
But he's a fossil at this point. So.
Right. And I think that they're going to have a bit of a problem in this game slowing down the Lions' offense, as weird as that sounds. If the Lions get a little bit more healthy, Stafford's going to have a full week back at the helm. They're at home. I just think there are too many obstacles here for Washington to overcome. The line is about right. I would figure the Lions would win this game by touchdown. So give me the Lions, minus the 4.5. There is no over-under yet on this one that I saw. So.
None needed for this game. I want to take Washington initially, but then you said your spiel. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll take Detroit in this game.
Okay.
Detroit. Unfortunately. I have to take somebody in this game.
Yeah.
Detroit's the answer.
Right. I suspect we'll spend equally about as much time breaking down. Jaguars, 1-7, travel to Green Bay at 6-2.
Oh, okay.
The Jags, 13.5-point dogs.
Being led to the slaughter here.
In this one with the Packers, who have the third-ranked offense in the league, playing the league's... So you got the third-best offense playing the third and fourth-worst defense. Yeah. This is an easy one for me. Give me the Packers minus the 13.5.
Here, some cheese. Gone, Packers.
I think Jake Luton will have a little bit more difficult time.
He's not Ultron. He's Luton.
Making some touchdowns in this game happen. So we're both on the Packers minus 13.5 and take the over. I think the Packers will run up enough points to run away and hide. And then I think it's going to be all Green Bay.
Jake Luton will make a game of it.
And yeah, Jake Luton might make a game of it at some point.
Luton!
Another one that somebody has to win. Eagles 3-4-1 at the 2-7 New York football
Giants. God, these are horrible games.
Both bad offenses in the bottom half of the league. Eagles, of course, riding the momentum of a win.
Against the Cowboys?
Yeah, this... What? Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. No. No, it's not the Cowboys. They didn't beat the Cowboys last week. The Steelers beat the Cowboys
last week.
So... Eagles come in 3-4-1. They could get to 500. At that point, do they just stop the NFC East when someone gets to 500?
Winner!
Yeah, when someone gets that far, do they? Is that just what they do? They just shut everything off?
Yeah.
I mean, seems like it would make a lot of sense there. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
Well,
I don't know over under on this one either.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's put it this way: the Giants are getting better every week. I'll give them that. They're starting to like their coach a lot more than Joe Judge. But I look at the Eagles, I'm like, people really don't like Carson Wentz. Why don't you like Carson Wentz?
Brett Favre doesn't like Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Do you see that story?
Max Cohen's the biggest hater of Carson Wentz in the world. Like, what did he do to you that's like,
did you see that story, though, that he said that Favre said that,
they should have held on to Foles. What's Foles doing in Chicago? He's terrible.
We'll get to that game later.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like, what did he do to you? Max Cohen, what did Carson Wentz ever do to you?
Well, he's talking about Doug Peterson, you know. He said Brett Favre said his old teammate Doug Peterson should have kept Foles as the starter.
Yeah, that too, but it's like I hear Kellerman talking about every day on First Take. Oh, yeah.
First of all, Max Kellerman and the whole First Take and Skip Bayless and Skip.
And Skip?
Yeah. Those shows are all garbage.
Is Get Up the only show you like? Or
I don't like Get Up either that much.
Yeah, but I think Kellerman's a raging idiot. That's
who?
Kellerman.
Well, he's a boxing guy.
Yeah, I don't like he's talking football and like. If he had a full shelf of weapons at his disposal, he had Alshon Jeffrey, he had Miles Sanders, he had all his receivers, I think they would be more than 3-4-1 right now. You can't blame the picks on him. He's trying to force things to make this team better. Because he doesn't have a lot of options at his disposal. It's Travis Fulgham and practice squad receivers.
I'm a big Travis Fulgham
fan. I like him too. I think he's a good receiver. If he gets Alshon Jeffrey back, their season plays even better. So, yeah, I'll take the Eagles in this game. Screw you, Max Kellerman.
Okay. Well, unnecessary shot there. But, yes, I'll take the Eagles also minus a 3.5. I still have a problem with the Giants being able to generate some consistent running game.
Nope.
And the Eagles' defense should be good enough to slow them down. I'm not saying I'm a huge endorser of the Eagles in this one.
But they win the Giants. So.
3.5 points. Made me a little nervous on this one, but I can't in good faith take
if
the
Giants. If they had Saquon, I would probably take the Giants. But he's not, so.
No. Give me the Eagles minus -3.5 points. Buccaneers.
Oh, God.
At the Panthers. Bucs 6-3, Panthers 3-6. You know, I don't know what to make of Tampa. I think the Panthers are going to give them a game. I just don't know how much of a game. Panthers are getting 5.5. They have a very mediocre squad. Something tells me in this game Tom Brady's going to be pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
And something tells me that a pissed off Tom Brady and a pissed off team that is going to look to wipe away the stain of that wretched performance they put together on Sunday night last week. I don't think this is going to be too much of a difficulty. I think it'll be closer than people think, but I think they'll cover. Give me the Bucs minus -5.5 and the over at 50.5.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to worry about it. I wouldn't want to get in the way of a pissed off Tom Brady and a pissed off offense with the weapons they have. I think Brady will say, you know what, Antonio, you're great, but I have other guys too. I'll get as much as I can, but I have a whole other pantry of weapons to use. I just think last week with Brady, he wanted to show off his new toy. Look at my new toy I got. Look, it does look great things. Oh, it's broken already. Just give it
that
to
me. That offense is broken.
Yeah, the whole offense is broken. It's like Christmas. You got your toy and you broke it in 3 days. It's just like, you know what? Give it to who's got the hot hand. Mike Evans was pretty good. He's a pretty good receiver. Gronkowski is a good tight end. Give it to him. Give it to your options. Hand it to Ronald Jones 20 times and win this game. Tampa Bay.
They have so many weapons that you think would be better than
I think they have, I think they have too many weapons at times. Where Brady's perplexed on his options. He's like, ooh, AB's, oh, but man, I want to go to Evans so bad. Galvin hasn't caught a pass yet. I don't know what to do. You know, like, dude, whoever's open, throwing the ball.
Even after last week, they're still a top five offense.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I know every team's got a stinker game like that that they're in, but I just don't see
but
the...
that was...
Now, yeah. The Panthers are going to get are banged up. McCaffrey might miss the game again, which may or may not be the worst
thing. He might play. I don't know.
It's a different offense with him in the lineup. But, you know, again, Teddy is what he is.
He's saying too much.
He's not going to go out and dominate and win you games, especially not in a game like this.
No.
So I'm on the Bucs.
Yeah,
you're on the Bucs as well.
Tampa Bay looking here, so...
Broncos at 3-5 travel to Vegas, meet the 5-3 Raiders. Broncos here, desperate for a win.
Nope.
Your dark horse AFC championship team is in some trouble here, I think.
Yeah, they are. I should have picked
Is your boy Philip Lindsay going to play, or is he have a
you only have just
upper points. Uterus injury?
He only has just 4 points a week, so I don't know.
I'm surprised he has that many.
I know.
Broncos are not a dynamic offensive squad.
That's true.
The Raiders.
Drew Lock only shows up for one quarter again.
Yeah, Raiders are 5-point favorites, by the way, in this one. Raiders don't do anything particularly well except run Josh Jacobs. And
Darren Waller makes you hollow.
And Darren Waller is pretty good. So I'm very comfortable taking the Raiders here minus
as
the 5 with an odd point total, but I'll take that one over
Raiders.
51.
I like the Raiders.
Okay. Chargers.
Oh, gosh.
At the Dolphins. 2-6 Chargers, 5-3 Dolphins.
Battle of the Young Pups.
Dolphins 2.5-point favorites here. Man, are the Chargers ever going to get over the hump on some of these games?
Nope. Dolphins.
Dolphins without hesitation?
Without hesitation.
Even with a 2.5-point spread?
Oh, yeah.
I think if it was a little bit more...
You were going to take the Chargers?
If it was a little bit more, I would have taken the Chargers. But
oh, come on.
I think the spread is about correct.
Absolutely it's correct.
I honestly think that this one is probably... right in the wheelhouse of the odds makers. Dolphins are sneaky good. They've got a good
defense.
Good defense, so the top five rated defense. Justin Herbert, as good as I like, as good as he is and as much as I like them, they just can't find a way to get it done. And so I'm going to take the Dolphins at home minus the 2.5 because I think that's about, the field goal's about the right spread.
Yep.
So I'll take the Dolphins and the over.
Yeah, as will I.
Okay. Interesting, probably most intriguing game of the week. 7-2 Buffalo at 5-3 Arizona. 56.5 over under, and the Cardinals are 2.5-point favorites in this one. Kyler Murray's fun. Josh Allen's fun.
Buffalo, but Josh Allen's hotter.
Josh Allen is hotter, right?
He's got the hot hand right now.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm tempted to take Arizona because of what Kyler Murray's done. I think that he might come out a little angry after losing to Miami. But Josh Allen's just so good right now. And with the more I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, you know what? If you fix your accuracy problems, it'd be really good.
And you're getting 2.5.
And he was. And I just think if he stays with the running game and Stephon Diggs and their defense plays the way they did, I mean, they toy with Russell Wilson all day. Picked them off twice, one in the end zone, one was run back to the one, and they scored the next play on. Bill's defense is on fire, getting Buffalo.
Buffalo plus 2.5?
Yeah.
Here's where I make the game up.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
This is where you lose.
Give me the Cardinals minus the 2.5.
I'm up 3.
Cardinals have a top 10 offense and top 10 defense.
Oh, please.
Kyler Murray at home. Dynamic runner, dynamic playmaker. The Bills' defense, highly overrated, only ranked 23rd in the league.
But they picked off the league's best passer.
However, they're facing the league's best runner.
And I
don't mean the running backs. I'm going to take the Cardinals. I'm going to ride them, baby. 2.5 points. Give me the 2.5 points.
This is a game they would lose.
No, this is the time.
Question, if I picked Arizona, would you pick Buffalo?
Moving on.
Yeah, you would have. You're on different.
No, I think that. No, I honestly, if again, this is the class. This is why Vegas has a lot of tall buildings. Okay. Because three and a half, probably would have been a different number. But inside a field goal, I think the Cardinals will win this game by a field goal. I think that's what they're going to do. I think the Bills' defense is suspect.
Yep, only picked off league
23rd ranked defense in the league.
Top 5 offense, picked them off twice. I'm just saying.
Okay. Two top 5 offenses, or two top 10 offenses. Cardinals, number 6 defense in the league.
Playing who?
They're in the toughest division in football, are they not?
I guess.
Top to bottom?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. It ain't the AFC East.
That's true.
Buffalo struggled to beat the Jets.
That's a division game, so I don't know.
Okay, I'm just... This is where it happens.
The
right
Jets
here.
Don't build about anybody else. I'm just
Cardinals are going to get this one. So
I'm up 3, baby. Let's go.
Going to get that game. Seahawks Rams. Another. Oh, you know I. Of course.
Oh,
I.
Oh wow.
Well,
this is bad.
No, what? I didn't. I'm sorry. I just forgot. So that's okay. Just give me a second here, and I'll make sure I get it. Seahawks at the Rams.
Hit that horn.
Is that their loss in their shot? I'm sorry.
The Rams are 1.5-point favorites against the Seahawks. At L.A.
That doesn't matter in 2020.
It doesn't matter. Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't.
54.5 over-under, and the Rams are a 1.5-point favorite in this one.
Oh, really? Really?
What?
Seahawks, come on. You were going to take the Rams? Are you kidding me?
I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
And the reason I can't do it is because I'm getting points with the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I think that's... No. Even I can't take... Although. I would say, though, that this is a big game in terms of it's the number 2 offense against the number 2 defense.
The Rams aren't the number 2 defense.
They are.
Oh, come on.
They are the
number
2 defense.
That's a load of crap.
Now, on the flip side of that, the Rams offense is 24th against the 28th ranked Seahawks.
Yikes.
But again, this comes down to the classic, who do you trust to make big plays to win you games? Jared Goff.
Russell Wilson.
Or Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'll take Wilson.
Yep, pretty sure on that. And that to me is where it all comes down to the Seahawks. Give me the Seahawks minus the 1.5, or plus the 1.5 against the Rams.
Yep.
Really surprised at that line, I guess. But I think given the Seahawks getting,
walloped by the Bills.
Yeah, I don't think that really sat well with a lot of people.
No, maybe not, but Seattle, I will never bet against Seattle and their loaded weapons. I just won't. I trust Russell Wilson when I trust him.
I would under different circumstances, but not these. 49ers at 4-5. Travel New Orleans, take on the Saints.
Oh, this is going to be a close game at all.
It's really surprising to me that the 49ers still have the 12th ranked offense in football.
How?
I'm not sure how that works. But anyway, the Saints, top 5 offense, pretty decent defense. 9.5 is a big number, but I think the Saints will cover it. I think they'll win by at least 10.
I think the Saints are going to be riding high off that game. They're going to carry it off of Tampa Bay, and they're going to carry it.
I would agree.
I'm taking the Saints.
I'll take the Saints as well. I don't particularly like the number, and the over-under is 49. And I probably would take the under on this one. But Saints seem to have that role going a little bit again. So I'm kind of curious to see what we'll see out of them in terms of the, coming back from a performance like that sometimes gives you too much of an ego.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious if they'll let down a little bit. And that might be the concern I have for the Niners.
The Niners are so beat up. It's just... They're just so beat up everywhere that they can hardly field together an offense. They don't have anybody. I don't trust Nick Mullins. Sorry, I don't. So I don't think
anybody does.
No, I'm just gonna rely on the Saints and move forward.
I don't think there's anything that's gonna change my mind there. Bengals at 2-5-1 travel to the undefeated Steelers at 8-0.
Steelers
are gonna win, but
can we just say Steelers and move forward? Like we know who's winning this game.
Well, if Roethlisberger doesn't play,
he will.
And we're gonna make this pick on the assumption that he will play.
Yeah,
I like his chances to play, which means I like their chance to win. I don't think Steelers had a rough go of it against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm confused by that game. Why struggle against the Cowboys? Did the Cowboys actually care and they actually wanted to win a game? So they decided, you know what, let's actually play this week, and they play close.
I mean, teams are going to have games like that where against an inferior opponent you struggle but you win. I wonder if the Bengals look at that and that gives them some confidence.
Yeah, but I'm not buying the Steelers though. Like,
I still don't think they're the best team.
No,
in the conference.
I don't think. I think they're probably number three. I mean, Kansas City, Buffalo, and then them. I just don't know. Yes, I'd pick Buffalo for Pittsburgh. Yes, I would. So,
really?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I don't trust Pittsburgh's offense. I don't.
I was surprised their defense looked as shaky as it did.
Yeah, against the Cowboys.
And the Steelers have, again, I look at teams that are, they're solid on both sides of the ball. Steelers, number eight offense, and the number four defense in the league. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not sure a team that plays like that, they did last week, that's a little bit of a red flag to me.
Yeah.
At the same time, Burrow's going to make mistakes against a team like this. He's going to get pressured. I don't think they can generate. Mixon may not play. I think all those factors leads me to pick, even if Roethlisberger, now, if Roethlisberger is out, that line's going to go down.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to make the pick on the assumption that it is. And so we'll go Steelers. Both of us go Steelers minus the 7 in this one over the Bengals. Sunday night, Ravens minus 7 at the Patriots. Ravens with the number one ranked defense in football, playing an offense in the Patriots
that can
generously be described as punchless. And needed a late comeback to beat the Jets. Jets.
Suck. The Trevor Lawrences.
The tank for sunshine effort continues in New York. Patriots offense looks good. And while their defense should be able to keep them in the game, over-under is 43.5, and I'd bet big on the under this week. Ravens should have plenty athletically and have in the past. Look like
but
they can
Ravens
do.
The Ravens' offense looks so one-dimensional.
They don't really need to be multi-dimensional.
Yes, but I mean, God, could you do anything else but run the football with Lamar?
Worked, didn't it?
It's not working in the playoffs.
Last year, you told me it was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Okay,
It's not a good offense to run. It's
also not a good offense to run when you're behind. Now, not that they'll get behind.
Yeah, I know
in this
they won't
game.
Get. Not saying they'll get behind by any means, but God, could you do anything else but run the football? Does he have an arm, or is that just like we just don't want to use it?
Got a deep ball.
That's it. Can you throw between the numbers? Can you throw outside the hash? Can you do that?
No.
No. And then just until he does, I'm not saying I'm picking the Patriots by any means, but this would be a close game. I'll take the Ravens, though, in the under.
Okay. Vikings-Bears, Monday night game.
I want to shoot the question to you before you say that.
Okay.
If Dalvin Cook rushes for 2,000 yards, is he the MVP?
He might be the MVP if he doesn't rush for 2,000 yards.
Here's the problem. The media loves Russell Wilson. And it's like, oh, you should give it to him. He hasn't gotten the vote yet. Give it to him.
I think the Seahawks without Russell Wilson would still be close to a 500 team.
With Geno Smith?
We've already seen what the Vikings are without Dalvin Cook. They're horrible. Okay?
Yeah.
They're horrible.
That's a good way to put it.
Again, this is goes back to the age-old debate about what is most valuable.
The best player, the most valuable player.
Right. To me, if you look at the two respective teams, Seattle's offense
is
is Geno Smith really the backup?
I think so. I'll have to look at it.
Even a crap Geno Smith can chuck it deep to DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, etc. Okay? The Vikes with Dalvin Cook.
Yep, Geno Smith.
Okay. Well, at least he's had some starting experience.
With the Jets.
Right.
Which isn't much.
The Dolphins, or it's Dolphins, Dalvin Cook is the Vikings' offense. Nothing happens without him in there. I think he's the most valuable player on this team. So I think he's the most valuable player in the league.
But the media won't see it that way, and you know that. It's going to be Russell Wilson who will probably win it. But
at this pace, would it be anybody other than Cook or Mahomes would be the only other alternative? Because
or Aaron Rodgers or...
Well, let me ask you this. Let's spin that off on a different question. Do you think we underrate how good Mahomes is?
Yes.
I think
we take it for granted. Oh, he throws the 80 yards. Oh, that was a great pass. You know,
and he has like, what, one pick or four picks. I don't know. Some ridiculously low
number. He's really accurate.
So, again, if you took Mahomes off that team, they still would have a bunch of dynamic weapons, but it still wouldn't be quite the same.
Yeah, according to betting lines, Dalvin Cook is sixth. He's considered a long shot for the MVP.
Oh, I don't buy that.
The
at
favorites
all.
Are Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. The long shots are Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, Dalvin Cook, Ben Roethlisberger, Lamar Jackson.
Well, let's clear it up. None of the last few you just mentioned are even in there. I would say Dalvin Cook is the only non-quarterback that's even in the running. Because if you look at the running backs, there is no comparison this year. Dalvin Cook is now, without question, the best running back in pro football. It's just not close.
No.
Honestly, who would be the next best running back right now?
Alvin Kamara.
Think so?
Yeah.
Without question?
Yes. McCaffrey's okay. Third. It's McCaffrey or Derrick Henry. Okay. You want power or receiving? I mean, that's really
well. If I want the complete package,
Dalvin Cook's your guy.
Is Dalvin Cook my guy?
Yes,
I think so.
I think he is.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. Okay.
In terms of catching passes out of the backfield,
I'd take Cook again.
I'd absolutely take Cook. Are we in agreement on that one too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what exactly does anybody do better than Cook does?
I mean, Kamara is maybe the closest thing to him. They're both good run. But what separates Cook is his vision in the backfield.
Correct.
I don't know who did this and what YouTube video I was watching, but they showed his vision, and I'm like, I wouldn't have seen that hole. But he just sees it so clearly. I'm like, that's what makes him the best in the business.
Honestly, to me, the rushing, if you just look at running back,
yeah.
I mean, I think this year more than ever, it's Cook, and then there's a little bit of separation to Henry, and then I don't think it's Josh Jacobs next.
You think there's this much separation between the top two?
I don't think there's. I think there's
in terms of rushing yards or his overall back.
Well, if I look as an overall back,
oh yeah, then
Cook is far better. Henry
is a power.
Is the power runner you want.
And it's in a Titans type of offense.
Right, and he's perfect for that offense. He wouldn't work in the Vikings offense because it does require him to be able to get outside.
Which he's done.
He can, but you're not sending him out there to be that guy.
No.
Jacobs is built more in the straight ahead mode, just kind of workman like style.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird when you look at the rushing leaders this year. Here's your top 10 rushers. Spoiler alert, they're not all going to be quarter or running backs.
Uh-oh.
It's Cook, Henry.
I think Henry's number one now.
Well, they're playing a Thursday game, so yeah. He'll have the lead tonight. Josh Jacobs. Is it weird that I am surprised that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the fourth leading rusher in the league?
No, not really.
But it doesn't seem like he's really done a lot.
Exactly. What's he at?
He's at 586 yards. That's fourth.
That's it?
Yeah. But remember, teams don't run the ball anymore.
That's true.
Todd Gurley's five. Our old friend James Robinson is sixth. Zeke. Kyler Murray is eighth. Ronald Jones, the second, Junior, the third.
Nine.
And then Kareem Hunt. That's your top 10. Kamara's 14.
Damn.
And he's had he's had 96 carries. Cook's had 144. Henry's got 182. And they've played eight games. So he's on pace right now to carry for over 360 times. And that's a lot of wear and tear. Plus, you look at the receiving numbers, and that's a whole different deal. I mean, Henry just doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield.
True.
Okay? He just does it.
Yeah.
And the strangest part about Derrick Henry this year is that...
Based on the numbers, right, exactly.
Don't know if he's as dominant a back as he was last year. I mean, he had that 200-yard game against Houston, which was great.
But that's Houston.
And he scores almost every game. But he's not a versatile running back in terms of he's not going to go out and catch a whole bunch of passes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just not going to.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Because The most receiving.
We've been making joy.
Papa Bad King back at
it. If you look at it, he's caught about 13 to 15 balls a year. Okay? That's just what he does. He's just not going to go out and catch a lot of passes for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's not that kind of guy. Dalvin Cook, on the other hand, and you know, we've seen him take the screen passes and everything to the house on several occasions.
No, but what he did to Jamie Collins, he jukes out of his jock on 3rd and 10 just to get the first down. I'm like, how is he not the best back in the NFL? And plus, right. He was at the NFC Offensive Player of the Week back to back weeks.
We've been making joy.
We have still been making joy.
Papa Bad King, please. How do you do that?
Cook catches caught 40 last year, 53 the year before. 53 last year, 40 the year before that.
By the numbers,
16 this year. Okay, and so there's a versatility factor there to me.
That's true.
That cuts far above. So yeah, Cook's the best back in football.
Is it the closest thing you've seen to Marshall Faulk?
I don't know. That's a good comparison though.
I mean, they both do the same things really well. They're both really good, but they're eyes in the backfield. I mean, what sets Faulk apart was his eyes before the play was even snapped. He'd look at the linebackers and the way it was going. They'd cheat over and go the opposite way. I mean, he was such a great note taker with his detail too. When he would sit in an offensive meeting with Mike Martz, he would write everything he said down. His attention to detail was so good. Cook, I think it was more natural ability. I think that they're both really good, but Marshall's note-taking was just a little bit more that he knew what he was doing pre-snap.
I think Cook is a tougher runner than Faulk.
That's true.
But I think Faulk is one of the best finesse backs I've ever
seen.
Also
played on AstroTurf, which helps.
Right, and he also played in an offense where he didn't have to be the focal point of his offense. Now, was he probably? Yeah.
Yeah, at times.
But he had a Hall of Fame receiver in Isaac Bruce.
A Hall of Fame quarterback
in Kurt Warner. And he had Oz Hakeem, who gets underrated how good a receiver he was.
Yeah.
And Ricky Prohl.
Yeah.
He had, and
Who was the tight end? Rowan Williams?
No, I don't remember who exactly the tight end.
I think it was Roland Williams. He was a big tight end. That's all I remember about their tight end. He was really big. 86 for the Rams. I swear to God's name is Roland Williams.
Jeff Robinson and Roland Williams. You got it. Yeah.
Jeff Robinson was a long snapper.
Ernie Conwell was the other guy.
Yes, that was the other one. Roland Williams was their main tight end. Ernie Conwell and Jeff Robinson was a long snapper.
He's no Tyler Higbee, of course.
That's true.
You know, that's... But yeah, Ernie Conwell is the one I was thinking of. That's... That was good, man.
Ernie
Conwell, baby. Let's go. Torrey Holt was on that team. By the way, we forget how good Torrey Holt was, too. Remember?
Yeah.
And we had Dre Bly was on that team, too. Dre?
Yeah.
Dre? Dr. Dre?
DeMarco Farr.
Really?
Yeah, DeMarco Farr.
DeMarco Farr.
Mike Jones.
Grant Wistrom.
Oh, come on.
Kevin Carter,
there you go.
Kevin Carter? Tony Horn?
London Fletcher.
You gotta get a new horn?
London Fletcher.
Was he on that team?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Mike Jones?
Yeah. Duh.
So Charlie. Anyway, I thought this Vikings Bears
Todd game. Clemens?
No?
No. So, by the way, do you know who the backup quarterback to Kurt Warner was?
Trent Green.
No, but I mean, when he was hurt, there was another name.
Behind Trent Green?
Yeah.
Tony Banks?
No, it was Paul Justin.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember Joe Germain from Ohio State?
Yes, I do.
Joe Germain.
I do.
And they do. Yes.
So, this Vikings-Bears game.
Oh, we're going back. I'm sorry. By the way, Adam Timmerman, South Dakota State, played on that championship team.
Yes, yeah. Does he show dogs now or something?
Wow, I have no
idea. Oh, they got somebody else. Never mind.
Okay, that was disturbing. All right.
No, sorry. It was an NFL Films piece, and a guy who played on that Rams.
Of course it was. Well, and I have to give a couple of other guys on this team, just as long as you're talking about it. Robert Holcomb, who our good friend Rob in Minneapolis will know about Robert Holcomb, because we have an ongoing joke in fantasy football every year about starting Robert Holcomb versus Skip Hicks. It was a long time.
Skip Hicks?
Skip Hicks, baby. Yeah.
Who in the hell was Skip Hicks?
Skip Hicks was a Washington football team running back.
Running back?
Yeah, Skip Hicks. I think he went to UCLA, I think. Okay. And also on that Rams roster, by the way, was Amp Lee, a former Viking, by the way. On that, yes.
He runs it well.
Amply. Skip Hicks, not his real name. It's Brian. But Skip Hicks, baby. Yes, I was right. UCLA. He is now an assistant coach at Oaks Christian School in California. So
not Chick Hicks?
No, not Chick Hicks.
Not the race car?
Not the race car driver. So anyway, Robin Minneapolis, he finished his career as a Toronto Argonaut. So, for the record.
So anyways, Vikings-Bears.
So back to Vikings-Bears. Are we going to talk about this game?
Yeah.
Okay, Vikings-Bears.
Sorry, I should have posed the question after we talked about
it. Quite all right. It's easy that we get sidetracked.
Let's see. Bears' pathetic offense versus a Vikings
27th ranked, to be exact.
The Bears' offense?
Yeah. Vikings' defense has moved up in the rankings to 24th, so now...
I'm impressed with the corners. Gladney and Chris Boyd, they were pretty damn good.
I wouldn't say impressed is probably the first word I would come up with.
If they were caught, they were in for 2 yards. They weren't for 16, 18 yards.
I'm going to take the Vikings minus the 2.5, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
They're flat out better than the Bears are right now.
Yeah. But
the Bears' offense is terrible. The Bears' defense is good, but I don't think the Vikes are going to have to score a ton. They just got to score.
Here's my worry about this game, though.
Don't pick the
Bears. If the Vikes lose... No, that's not the question. If the Vikes lose, are they out of the playoff race?
I said they were out already, so they got nothing to lose. Yes.
There's still a shot they could make it in. They got to win every winnable game left on their schedule, which is...
If they win this game, and assuming the Niners lose, as we predicted them to do, the Vikings are right there. Then they're 4-5. Bears are 5-5.
And then the Rams are the 7.
Remember, Bears got 2 tilts yet against Green Bay, right? They haven't played Green Bay yet.
And the Rams got Seattle twice. So it's not a possibility they win this game. They could easily.
And I know they don't play well on Monday night. I know they don't play well at
Chicago.
And
I know Kirk's 0-9 on Monday night. We get it.
We've heard it all before.
But you know what? He's got to win one at some point. So we're both taking Minnesota.
Okay. By the way, did we both pick the Patriots or the Ravens?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I backed my way in.
Vikings, 2.5-point favorites. We'll take them on the road at Chicago.
Now, if there were fans...
Suicidal, but...
If there were fans, I would have taken Chicago.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
You wouldn't have picked against the Vikings anyway. I feel like I should switch one of these picks around just to make it an even tie, but I'll just go with the one game pickup this week.
I'll be up a field goal by the end of this week.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's, in the time we have remaining, let's briefly touch on the college slate for the weekend. Which ain't much to speak of. All the good games got canceled.
What a pathetic punt that was.
Most punts are. Wait, sorry.
The ball went out the 29-yard line.
Biggest game of the weekend, if you can call it.
Alabama, LSU.
Nope, sorry, not being played.
Texas A&M then.
No.
God.
Notre Dame's 13.5 over Boston College, who your boys from Clemson barely beat. Notre Dame will win that one. USC at Arizona. Give me a break.
Bear down, baby.
Wisconsin at Michigan is the primetime game.
I'll take the Scotties.
The Corona infested Scotties.
I'll take the Scotties.
Yeah, I think they'll throttle Michigan. Oregon at Washington State.
After the next season, would you fire Jim Harbaugh? Would you let him go?
Shit, I'd fire him now. I don't think he can recruit worth a damn or coach worth a damn either.
But he's the son. I mean, he's the wayward son of this. I mean, you know. No, not mine. Okay.
Miami 2-point underdog at Virginia Tech. Let's go Hokies.
Home team gets 3 points, right?
Yeah, so Miami is a 2-point.
So Miami's basically a favorite then. Okay, Miami is.
I think Miami taking 2 points would be good. Indiana, back home again in Indiana. At Michigan State, 7-point favorite. Don't look now, boys and girls, but it's setting up for a big
matchup.
They're not
making the playoff. Come on.
I'm not saying they're going to make the playoff.
Okay, good.
But let's give them some credit.
A BCS.
Excuse me? What year is this?
A New Year's
Day. Are we in 1999 all of a sudden? Did we have a time warp?
1999, itch.
Seriously. Okay. Flourish. There we go.
It's Sorry, it's just like the angels are talking right there.
Yeah, that's, exactly right. No, I have a tough time seeing that the Hoosiers are going to be a big threat to Ohio State, but you can't say that it's not going to happen.
It's
just saying.
It's weird. Ohio State could possibly not make a playoff and then go unbeaten. I mean, the way this goes, I mean...
It's possible.
This is why you need to expand the playoff.
To how many?
6 or 8. Pitched. Either one works. I mean, 4 is too little. Because you put the pressure on the committee saying, well, these guys are better this week, but this... But like, if
do they do it in that voice, too, by the way?
Maybe. But if Florida beats Bama, but that's Bama's only loss, then what do you do? I mean, I'm perplexed with the options. Well, you know Clemson's got to be in. You know Notre Dame's got to be in. If you know, it doesn't matter what happens, but I mean, you know. But just because Notre Dame won that one game against Clemson, they might put them in the playoffs just because of that one win. And you have no idea what's going to happen with Bama if they go undefeated. They got to be in. If Florida only has 2 losses, but they're to Texas A&M and Alabama, what do you do about that? 6 or 8 would be the perfect number. But the committee doesn't want to back off the 4 for some reason. Why 4? Can we not do 6 or 8?
Apparently not.
What's the problem with 6 or 8? It's more money for you guys. So I don't understand why 6 or 8 is a bad idea. I don't get it.
No, I don't disagree with that.
Maybe they should put BYU or Cincinnati in there.
Why not?
I mean, if you want to see them play against the big boys, well then why don't you put them in the playoff then? Make it 6 or 8.
We'll close with a little baseball just to talk a little bit. Just to recap... Jose Abreu wins the...
Doesn't deserve it.
...of the White Sox.
Doesn't deserve it.
American League MVP award. Freddie Freeman wins the National League award. Just so you know, the voting in the American League, Abreu was 1. Jose Ramirez of Cleveland was 2.
Yeah.
DJ LeMahieu.
I'm sorry. Jose Ramirez should have won
3rd.
Jose Ramirez should have won that award.
Shane Bieber 4. Mike Trout 5. Nelson Cruz 6.
Now, for the Cy Young, for the AL.
Byron Buxton, by the way, did get an MVP. Ninth place MVP. Eddie Rosario got a vote.
Did Maeda get a vote? Or
no, actually, he did not.
Did the training guy
get a vote? He did finish 2nd in the Cy Young voting.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, National League, real quick. Freddie Freeman... Almost unanimous. Mookie Betts was 2nd. Manny Machado 3rd. Fernando Tatis Jr.
Tatis.
And then Juan Soto was 5th in the MVP voting. So,
but for the AL Cy Young, if that wasn't a unanimous vote for Bieber, that's a problem. Because he was by far the best pitcher this season.
Yeah, Shane Bieber, AL Cy Young. Trevor Bauer won the NL Cy Young.
It's time to play. Who wants him?
Yeah, Twins have been rumored that they would have interest in picking up Corey Kluber, but I don't know.
We need relief guys, like please.
Yeah, the Twins though, if they get another starter to go with that, that'd be a pretty good rotation they'd be putting together there with Estados Unidos. I really like Barrios.
And if Odorizzi stays healthy.
And if Odorizzi could, not get hurt so much.
He could start.
That would be great. So, anyway. But sad, yeah, so the postseason baseball awards finally wrapping up. And the Colts are wrapping up a touchdown drive here as they take the lead on the Titans. So this will be an interesting one to watch here at the end of our Thursday night as Rodrigo Blankenship makes the extra point. 20-17 is the score. In that one. Well, hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @LegendLoudmouth. That's @LegendLoudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. For links to all our previous shows, Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram @Legend_Loudmouth_pod. This is Legend_Loudmouth_pod. DM us if you hate the show, we don't care. DM us, please, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
We will be glued, or at least I will be anyway, to the Masters.
Me and Tigers on 16.
Excuse me?
Me and Tigers on 16.
Like at any point during the weekend?
Final round.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hopefully you'll be still in contention by then. But
you should be.
We'll see what happens. And then, by the way, quick, Cheyenne Bismarck Century state title pick?
Century by about 14.
Century by 14. Seems reasonable to me. Enjoy the Dakota Bowl this weekend as well. Busy sports weekend coming up. We'll be here to break it down for you on Monday on The Legend and The Loudmouth. Take care, everyone.